Hi friends, I'm Lyndon Wall. I'm going to talk to you about having a right heart in a world that's wrong. My text is Luke chapter 13, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 9, but I'll introduce it this way. A couple of years ago, I was speaking in a church, and after the service, I was in conversation with a dear saintly old lady, and she said something very interesting to me. She said, "I can't put my finger on it, but something is definitely wrong in our world." Well, this was shortly before the pandemic. This was shortly before all the big transitions that are happening in our worldwide power structure and the devastation that's come economically to our world. But she knew something was wrong. We live in a time when something has gone wrong in our world. And sometimes that's happened personally. Of course, we can think of things globally. But how do you have a right heart in a wrong world? I'm going to tackle that from this text. So join me in Luke chapter 1 or 13, starting in verse 1, and I will read a few verses to begin with. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will perish." Jesus is out ministering, and some people come to him with news, horrible, horrible news. And it was news of a very great act of evil. And so what had happened is that Roman soldiers, under the direction of Pilate, had slaughtered people down at the temple and had mixed their blood with the blood of the animal sacrifices. It was a huge blasphemy and a great, great atrocity for the Jewish people. And so, through an act of evil, they are forced to consider how to respond in a world that's gone wrong. And so, for the people of Israel, this was just another incident in many. But they bring these events. They bring to us very deep questions. And of course, one of them is how do we live in such a time? We are in Canada, and we're far from Jerusalem, we're far from animal sacrifice, but things have gone wrong. There have been acts of evil. I think back not too long ago of that attack in Nova Scotia, where over 20 people were killed by this person who went on a killing spree. These things happen. And we know that crime happens in our local area. Maybe people that you know have been victimized by it. But we have our world go wrong when people commit acts of evil. Now there's a second kind of thing that happens that Jesus talks about here. And that is when accidents happen, what we would term as accidents. He talks about this Tower of Siloam, and there was 18 people who died in this accident. It seems that they were constructing a tower and something went wrong. Obviously, the tower collapsed and 18 people were killed in that accident. So again, it was a world that had gone wrong. And it was through no fault of their own. They were just doing their job. They were just living their life. And something went wrong. Well, again, our world goes wrong through acts of evil, and also through accidents. Some of you are living with a world that's gone wrong through acts of evil that someone perpetrated against you. It might have been an abuse, it might have been a theft, something like that. Some of you are living with the consequences of an accident. It might have been a car accident or an industrial accident, and it may have affected your health, or maybe you lost a loved one. Recently, in our town, someone lost their life in an industrial accident. These things happen. And they are tragedies. They are horrible tragedies. And they are a sign that our world does go wrong. So they bring these problems. They bring the problem to Jesus, and he brings up the second problem, that of accidents, and then he starts to go to their heart. Now, how do you keep a right heart in a world that goes wrong? Well, this question is brought to Jesus, and he was going up to Jerusalem. And by the way, this was part of an entrapment scheme that they're talking to him about this issue, because anything he said about Pilate was sure to go before him, and then he'd get in trouble with the Romans, and the crowd would accuse him of being, if he ignored the issue, the crowd would accuse him of being pro-Roman. So he, either way, however we acted, he was going to get in trouble. So he took it to another level. He actually took it to the heart level about how to respond when the world goes wrong. Warren Wiersbe, the commentator, said, "Our Lord moved the whole issue to a higher level to avoid politics completely. Instead of discussing Pilate's sins, he dealt with the sins of the people questioning him. He answered their question by asking a question. And that's when he asked, do you think those who suffered were sinners at the Tower of Siloam?" So he starts to make a point about what our heart should be like when our world has gone wrong. And the first one is this: don't assume moral superiority. There was a belief in Jesus' time that if you were involved with a great tragedy, that meant that you were a great sinner. In other words, you were getting what you deserved. And Jesus says, no, these people on the Tower of Siloam, there wasn't some great tragedy that brought them into that, or great sin that brought them into that. That was just a tragedy that happened. Same with those people worshiping. That wasn't their sin. That was just a tragedy that happened. And he is contradicting the Jewish belief that the greatness of the calamity suffered by these people indicated that they were unusually wicked people. And so it's kind of like with the, if we during this time of the coronavirus would have said, well, you got sick, you must be wicked. You got really sick, you must be more wicked. This person passed away, they must have been extremely wicked. That was kind of what the thinking was at that time. Now, we wouldn't go around saying that these days, but I actually do think that we struggle with some of this in our time. I've talked to people who may have suffered abuse by their parent. Something went wrong at work. People made a decision that was harmful to them, and they end up blaming themselves. I think of one lady that was getting abused extremely much in her marriage, and in the conversation she kept blaming herself for it when it was her husband's decision. And so she was following this philosophy that if something bad happens to me, I must be morally corrupt, there must be something extremely evil in me that brings it upon me. And so we need to just guard our hearts and our thinking against this. Not assume a moral superiority of people who life has gone well for over those who've gone through difficult times. A second part of having your heart right is to practice a lifestyle of repentance. A second principle to having the heart right in a world gone wrong is a practice of repentance, a lifestyle of repentance. Now, when I first read this text a few years back, I remember reading it that time, I thought, wow, Jesus is really being nasty here. He's not very kind and compassionate. When he hears about these tragedies and he says, you know, you guys need to repent. Well, what is behind that? What is behind that is that he is saying, make sure you are ready to face the ultimate reality. We all have a time when our life will come to an end, and we need to be ready, and we prepare by repenting. Now, repentance means to change our mind, change the way we think about certain things, how we respond in certain situations that are not of God. There's two words used for repentance, or two tenses used for repentance, And the first one in verse 3 is talking about a lifestyle where you change the course of your life and head in a different direction so that you are walking with God instead of walking away from Him. Some of you listening today may need to make that choice of repentance, to turn away from walking away from God and turn to walking with Him. And that's a lifestyle choice. The second use of the word repentance in this passage is in verse 5, and it's talking about immediate, doing it now. Not waiting till next week, not waiting till next year to change your mind about what you know is not right in your life. You do it now. So I just want to put that out there. Some of you have been living in ways that you know is out of step with God. And Jesus is saying, get in step with God now. Don't wait. Don't wait. Someone once said, you cannot repent too soon because you do not know when it may be too late. Repent now. Change your mind now. And so I encourage you to think about your life. Are you ready to meet with God should some tragedy happen, whether it be an act of evil by someone, maybe someone breaking into your home and things go wrong, or could be just an accident that happened as you're driving down the road. Make sure you're ready. Now, Jesus, in the previous chapter, gives a number of things that we should repent of. And the first one, I think I'll just spend most of the time on that this morning. The first one is this: change your mind about what you think about Jesus. Change your mind about who you think He is. In chapter 12, in verse 12, he says, I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. Perhaps you need to change your mind about who Jesus is. He is the one that opens the door for us into eternity. Some of you are thinking that Jesus is somebody to be put off, someone to be discounted. Yeah, he had great teaching, he had great stories. There's great stories about him, but you're leaving it there. You need to take it to another level and just acknowledge him as Savior and King and returning King. There's other things that it talks about in chapter 12 that we should repent of. One of them I just kind of alluded to as Jesus as the coming King. But it says in verses 35 to 40, it says, you must also be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour that you do not expect. And so Jesus is saying, change your mind about me. Change your mind about how you think things are going to unfold in this world. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord Jesus? So, repentance is the second way to have a right heart in a wrong world. So, first one, don't be morally condemning of people who go through hard times. Open your heart in grace and love them. Care for them. Pray for them. The second one is make sure your heart is right. Make sure you're in step with the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure that you are ready should something happen and you face step into eternity. You know, speaking of repentance and a change of mind, I came across a story that happened years ago when King Frederick was the king in Prussia. And he was visiting a prison in Berlin. And as he was walking through the prison, all the inmates were there trying to convince him, I was here, I'm falsely accused, I didn't do it, it was my friend that did it, or so on, so on. They're all excusing themselves, all claiming innocence as the king is walking by. But over in the corner, he sees one man. One man sitting there not proclaiming his innocence, and he goes to the man and he says, what are you in here for? And the man says, armed robbery, Your Honor. And the king asks, were you guilty? Yes, sir, he answered. I entirely deserve my punishment. Then the king gave the order to the guard, release this guilty man. I don't want him corrupting all these innocent people that are in the prison with him. It was repentance that set him free and gave him the right standing with the king. And let me ask you, have you repented? Have you come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, I've sinned. I've made mistakes. I need you to help me be right with you. That's the second way, to have a right heart in a world that's gone wrong. Third way is take advantage of God's grace. In verses 6 to 9, we have a story that Jesus tells. It's a parable. It says that he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then I'll cut it down. What we have here is a parable about a fig tree that wasn't producing fruit. And the owner comes and says, let's cut it down. Let's get rid of it. It's not producing any fruit. But the manager says, give me one more year. I'm going to dig around it. The word literally means to put some manure around it. We're going to fertilize this thing and get it going. The interesting thing is that back in those days, they would do that agricultural practice. They would work a little manure into the soil around plants, but not with fig trees because it was found ineffective. And the point simply is this, that all grace was being extended. There was just going beyond what normally would be done so that this fig tree could bear fruit. The owner was extending grace. It's a parable of how God was treating Israel at that time, extending grace, giving them chance to turn to Christ. But as we know, the time came, as in the parable and with Israel, the time came when that period of grace and opportunity was gone. And I want to say to you, to have a right heart in a wrong world, take advantage of the grace of God that's being offered to you now through the Lord Jesus Christ. Open your heart to Him. Ask Him to be your Savior. Turn to Him and ask Him to cleanse you and to fill you with His Spirit. And do it now. Do it today. Take advantage of the grace of God. Well, you know, the Bible is clear that one day we all need to have taken advantage of the grace of God, or it might be too late. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. The writer to Hebrews says, we're in a time of grace, but there's a time coming when the grace will end. So take advantage of it now. Take advantage of it now. Tragedies remind us, friends, to have a right heart in a world gone wrong. When you hear of the world going wrong, let it remind you to have a right heart. Don't be morally condemning of others who are involved with these things, where things go wrong. Don't condemn yourself when things go wrong out of your control. Then repentance. Change your mind about things that are leading you away from God. And then take advantage of His grace if you haven't already done so. So let me ask you, is your heart right in this world that has gone wrong? Are you at peace with God? Have you asked Christ to take away your sin? Do you live a lifestyle of repentance? We're living in a time when the world just fills our iPhones, our computer screens, our TV screens with one tragedy after another. And a lot of the people in the world are actually getting quite discouraged by watching all that's going on. It's having this depressing effect. But Jesus taught us, when you see all these things happening in our world that is going wrong, use it as a cue to make sure your heart is right. God bless you. Have a great day.